If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, Equal Housing Lender, MLS 112-4061.
And you can see Connell McShane, the anchor at News Nation, at 2 o'clock this afternoon until 5 on Comcast, DirecTV, Dish Network. Hi, Connell. Welcome back to the show.
That's right. Basic Cable. Thanks for having me back, John, as always.
Was that a shot at your very own medium, sir?
No, I'm just saying you're promoting where people are appearing, and that's where, you know, where I'm appearing there. It's all, you get it all, as long as you get your cable, and then it all comes with it, I'm saying. It's, yeah, it's a good deal, really, for people still.
Okay, fine, Connell. And also, DirecTV and the Dish, you can get it over the satellite as well.
Right.
Do you guys have a showcase studio? Can people stand out front and watch you do your work?
Well, just the people we work with, and that's one thing, because we're kind of in a – our studio is actually in a newsroom, which is – I actually like that. It's kind of cool. There's no door, in other words. So everybody that's working in the newsroom is just sitting there, and our desk and our is right kind of in the middle of things. So
yeah.
We always have like a stage manager screaming at everybody to turn their phones off and, you know, stop laughing and all this kind of stuff. But I kind of like it. It's fun.
Well, I like the hub and the buzz, the energy in a newsroom. I've worked in and around them. The Tribune used to do that. In fact, we used to have a studio in the middle of the Tribune newsroom where we could have interviews with them. Although a lot of us have also worked in showcase studios where, you know, passersby can just stand there and watch you do your work. So the government is still shut down. We're into our third week now. What's the guess on when this impasse ends?
I don't know. I mean, it just, you'd have to figure out what the off ramp is. You know, maybe it's open enrollment starting here on the first of the month. You know, for a lot of people, at least, because healthcare has been such a big debating point. I mean, so I don't know, because at some point, what's going to have to happen is one side's going to have to agree to either do one of two things: open up the government with the understanding that there'll probably be a deal to maybe extend some of these Obamacare subsidies, perhaps, that the Democrats have been pushing so hard, or, you know, do that first and then open up the government. And now, you know, you have both saying that they're not going to give on their principles on that end of it. So I feel like it's probably something healthcare related, and maybe it's when, you know, people. For some people, it's already starting. They're signing up for their health care for next year, which puts them in a tough spot because they don't know exactly how much they're going to be paying in some cases.
Democrats are saying Republicans should come back to D.C. and negotiate with them. And Republicans are saying it's non-negotiable what they're asking for. They want to give money to illegal aliens, which seems to be a rock and a hard place. But is it true that the two sides, Mike Johnson and maybe Hakeem Jeffries or somebody, have not actually been in a room together for the last 2 weeks?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't seem like they personally have been. It's always unclear about how much behind the scenes kind of jockeying is going on in a situation like this, but there's not enough conversations. You know, Johnson will get a little bit of pressure from his own folks. Like, we had Kevin Kiley from California on, and he has his own, you know, like any moderate would in a blue state kind of Republican. He's a Republican. He gets pressure from different places than, you know, a reliable red state district would. So he's been showing up for work every day, kind of make a point, Kylie, as a Republican, almost saying to his own speaker, hey, you should have us here working. You know, that maybe that, to your point, is something that gets us going in the right direction if Johnson just calls the House back in, and then you have more people there that can at least speak to each other. But their point is, like, the game, which they're right about, technically, the game's in the Senate, right? So the Senate, every day, it's kind of a charade at this point. They get up and they vote, and the vote fails, and the government stays closed. So it's frustrating for a lot of people. I don't know, we had that town hall the other night on News Nation with Cuomo.
Yeah.
And, you know, that guy got up. It was a moment. The guy gets up. He says, I'm an air traffic controller, you know, and after this, I'm leaving and I got to go drive for DoorDash because I got to pay my daughter's tuition. And that led to this moment where Stephen A. Smith, you know, kind of went off on everybody on the stage and ended up walking off the stage at one point. But the idea was that this is the people that are struggling and you guys are all kind of playing around with, you know, digging into these political positions, and this guy is not getting paid. You know, maybe he'll get back pay at some point, but his point was like, what am I going to do now? So I'm going to go
the expectation is that furloughed workers do get paid, but that doesn't mean one in five Americans live paycheck to paycheck. So tell that to the clerk at Target. What, I don't know if you can answer this question. I'm not exactly sure what I'm asking you, but how do you see what's happening in Chicago? How are you reporting or contextualizing what's happening in Chicago?
Well, that is actually a good question. I know exactly what you're asking. I mean, but I'm also not sure exactly how to answer it. I mean, I think that it depends on the day, but I think that the larger story here is, you know, what is, and I've been caught on this comment for, I guess, since he made it a week or two ago, the president's move in going city by city. And Chicago, what's happening there seems, at least to me, looking in from the outside and looking at all these other cities, when he talks about city by city, it means usually sending in the National Guard, but using federal agents in some way, shape, or form to either crack down on crime or illegal immigration. Chicago seems very intentional right now by this president to, as I think he sees it, capitalize on some sort of a political advantage. I think he looks at both the mayor and certainly the governor there as kind of these opponents he can have. You know, President Trump's known for doing that, picking out people because he has a sense of what will play or he thinks will play on TV or in media in general. And maybe it's, you know, Mom Donnie running for mayor in New York. Oh, he's a communist, and let's get people worked up on that. Maybe it's Pritzker, who he sees as a guy he can target, or Newsom, and he puts the nickname Newscom on him in California, that kind of thing. So I think what's happening in Chicago from a national perspective seems really intentional from this president to kind of make wider points, whether it's
I wonder how it's
another
playing.
Question.
I wonder, because I could tell you what it feels like to most Chicagoans,
sure.
And you can guess how most Chicagoans feel about what's happening. And it seems to be illegal, unnecessary, inefficient,
right.
And reckless. And I don't know how else you describe it other than that.
I think there's a real chance this, or a real, you know, if you look at everything, there's a real sense for between a lot. And not just left-wing people, just moderate people that we've been speaking to, that this president's overplaying his hand in a lot of ways. I mean, we've been talking about kind of this whole – it's a broad theme, but this whole idea of being a uniter abroad and a divider at home because of what's happened in Gaza. And, you know, he got a lot of accolades, I think deservedly so for the most part, for how he brought the Middle East to this position. And hopefully it goes in even greater direction from here. But at home, almost, you know, Trump's a divider by nature. That's just the way he's been effective in his life, both in business and in politics. And I think he's using that now to your point, to what he thinks is his advantage. But I think there's a real risk, and this will be a big risk for Republicans in the midterms next year, that he's overplaying his hand. He's just going too far. We're kind of normal people look and say, all right, come on, a little bit much with this stuff. And
well, that divisiveness worked in that he won the election. But sort of yep. like the mayor of Chicago, it's one skill set to win an election. It's another skill set to govern. Brandon Johnson is criticized for different reasons, but for the same principle that what gets you elected, flowery promises, doesn't necessarily mean you can actually accomplish them. Where Donald Trump became president because of his divisiveness, okay, that worked. But now let's see how well you can manage and govern the 330 million people we have here. But instead, all he's doing is calling anybody that disagrees with him a radical left terrorist, and that's just not true. And it's counterproductive.
There's also something about having military or members of the military in the streets of American cities that most Americans, I think, kind of naturally repel against and say, well, I don't know. This doesn't make me seem – I don't like this. I don't like the sound of this. I'm used to walking down the street. Maybe I want to see more cops in the street, but seeing people that are dressed as – because they are – as soldiers in the streets makes me uncomfortable. I think a lot of people feel that way. You know, also with immigration, I think the general sense I got, again, speaking to middle-of-the-road people on this, was that – you know, President Biden hadn't done a good job on the border. And I mean, that's pretty obvious from the numbers. And when Trump came in and started to close down the border and cut those numbers, there were a lot of people, again, the left of center, right of center, said, all right, good. That's what we want. And now that's my point, is that now with this other step, these other steps that he's been taking, the idea that he's overplaying his hand, again, with those same reasonable middle of the road people, I think, is what's happening.
Hey, there's got to be a better way. There's got to
right.
be a better
how?
Way.
Right.
I didn't run on the platform, so don't ask me what it is, but this ain't it. One last thing. I think they should have a daily press briefing here in Chicago, and they don't. Tell us how many people were pulled off the street, how many of them were undocumented, how many of them were undocumented with criminal records, how many of them were U.S. citizens, where are they being held, what is the next step for these people. We don't have that. We have masked men pulling people
yeah.
into vans and driving off recklessly, sometimes crashing into other vehicles as they go. That's just not a good way to do that job. And I think one thing that would at least pull the mask down rhetorically is have a daily press briefing and just stand in front of the microphones and let Bob Kessler and Marianne Ahern and everybody else ask some questions. I mean, otherwise we feel like we're being, I'm going to use the word victimized just because we don't know who these men are and we don't know what's happening. I'm sorry, that's not a question, and now we're out of time. Thanks for letting me go off on a tear there, Connell.
No, I don't blame you. I understand it, John. I'll talk to you next week.
Connell McShane from News Nation. You can watch him on Comcast, DirecTV, Dish Network. He'll come to your living room.